The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
It's wonderful to be together on this beautiful fall morning. Let us bow in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you that we have the privilege of lifting up our praise to you. We thank you, Lord, for the many different voices with which your congregation is honored to praise your holy name. As we bow before you, grant that we might not only name you as our sovereign, our God, but believe in you as such, follow you as our Lord, trust you in all things, and venture forward with confidence in your name. Speak to us now and grant us ears that truly listen. Grant us eyes, O God, that truly see. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I wonder how many of you went out Sunday evening and took a look at the super moon, got a glimpse of the lunar eclipse. Anybody? Quite a few. It was an amazing occurrence. The moon was as close to the Earth as it's going to be for quite a while. And not only did we get that super moon, but the Earth's shadow was cast over it so that we got that blood red moon, which is quite unusual as well. It was really spectacular. And for me, as I walked out our front door and looked toward the east with my family, I couldn't help but have Psalm 8 go through my mind. It's the recommended text for today out of our lectionary. And you can just imagine on a night like that what it must have been like for David, who the psalm is attributed to, out watching over the sheep and looking out without any light pollution at all at that amazing sky. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are mortals that you are mindful of us? Human beings that you care for us. Yet you have made us a little lower than God and crowned us with glory and honor. You have given us dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under our feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This weekend, I was up with our confirmation students at Covenant Pines. If you haven't been there yet, you should go. It's our own church camp and is an amazing place, and a place where at night you can see the stars in all their stunning beauty. And Friday night when I looked up at the sky, again, this psalm going through my mind. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the first psalm of praise in the Psalter. And it's the only one that from beginning to end is a prayer directed totally toward God. Other psalms of praise not only speak to God, but talk about God. But this one just speaks to God. It speaks of God's greatness to God, a psalm of praise to God. And it's the expression of a person of faith, very obviously. A person like David, who actually was at the center of what we talked about up at Covenant Pines with our confirmation students. We talked about how David looked not only at the sky with eyes of faith, but he looked at everything with the eyes of faith. Do you get that idea? What I'm trying to say? It's one thing to look at the sky and see God's sovereignty as we look at this amazing creation. But God also calls us to look at all of creation, at everything in existence through the eyes of faith. That's what David did. As we spoke with our confirmation students, we talked about the story of David and Goliath. Remember how those soldiers of Israel were there and they saw this giant, Goliath, not with eyes of faith, but with eyes of fear. This 9-foot-tall giant with the javelin and with the sword and with the armor. But along came David, the little brother, the young boy, and he looks at this giant with the eyes of faith. And so he goes forward, and not with a sword, not with King Saul's armor, but only with 5 smooth stones. And he slings one of them at the giant, and down he goes. How we look at this world makes a difference. In fact, makes all the difference in the world. And God calls us to look, yes, at the night sky, but also at all of life with these eyes of faith. So let's take a look for a moment at Psalm 8 and catch a glimpse at what David, what others who have looked with these eyes of faith have seen, so that we can learn what it means to go into life with those eyes of faith. And the first thing, of course, is this: O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is named at the beginning of the psalm. It's named at the end of the psalm. It ought to be named by us at the beginning of each day and named by us at the end of each day. This is the fundamental truth for the people of faith. It's what we come together Sunday after Sunday to remember, to remind each other of. In a few moments, we'll stand around the table of our Lord Jesus Christ and affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. We will state our faith. This is the underlying truth, and as we believe it, it gives us eyes to see with those eyes of faith everything else in existence. One of the first things we notice in Psalm 8 that these eyes of faith give us is an ability to see that God works through even the tiniest of people, the lowliest and most powerless of people. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. Now, some of your translations might say, out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have brought forth praise because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. The ancient text, it's not clear as it's come to us exactly what it is. Is it praise that's brought forth from the infants? Is it this bulwark, this strong wall of defense? Maybe it doesn't matter all that much. The point of it is that whatever it is, whether it's praise or a strong wall or both, it comes from infants, from babies. God works through the little people, through those who seem powerless in the world. God has always done that. People like David, the youngest and the smallest of Jesse's sons. These are the people God works through. Mary, the mother of Jesus, this lowly peasant girl. These are the people God works through. You remember what the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians in his first letter, the first chapter: consider your call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. You see, it is God's power that we have faith in, not our own abilities, not our own wisdom. We are not God, but we worship the one who is God. We step forward into life with these eyes of faith that boast in the power of God, the sovereignty of God, not in ourselves. Of course, that leads us to the second thing that the psalmist takes note of. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them, yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. So God works through infants and babies, through these people who are the least and look foolish to the world. God has actually crowned these people that the world may even look down on, but he's crowned them with glory and honor. The second thing that we see with the eyes of faith is not only that God can work through the lowliest and the least, he can work through five small stones or whatever the limited resources that we seem to have are, but that God also names each one of us as people of honor and glory. We humble Minnesotans have a difficult time kind of standing up straight and saying, I'm worthy of honor and glory. Can you say that for yourself right now? You don't have to say it out loud. That's too hard. But you ought to say it. God has crowned you with glory and honor. You are a person of infinite value, no matter what the world might say about you, no matter what your own heart may say about you. Hear the good news. You are a person of infinite worth to God, our Creator. So whatever those old tapes might be playing in your head, that you'll never amount to anything, no matter what that piece of shame is in your life that leads you to imagine that if people you really were, they would think nothing of you. The reality is if they realized who you really are, they would stand back and gasp because you are a person of infinite value to God. Of course, the amazing thing in this is that not only are you, but so is that person sitting next to you. Whatever you may have thought of that person this morning when you're trying to get out of the house, that God looks at that person in prison, that person in the hospital, he looks at that refugee, he looks at that person that is scary to us, and he sees there a person of infinite value. Maybe there are those times in our lives where we or that other person has wandered far from God. But that doesn't mean that they are not treasured by God. That like the prodigal's father, God doesn't long to draw them back into his embrace and into the purpose for life, the love of life that God desires for them. No wonder the Apostle Paul, when writing to the Corinthians, is so passionate about this ministry of reconciliation. He says he is appealing to people to be reconciled to God, to know how much God loves them. He writes in verse 16, from now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. See, there was a time when the Apostle Paul looked upon Gentiles in a certain way, a time in which he looked upon Christians in a certain way. He looked down on them. He was angry with them. He was maybe even a little afraid of them, that they might ruin the Jewish faith. But from now on, we regard no one from a human point of view. The Apostle Paul came to understand that with the eyes of faith, every single human being is a person of value before God. And that is why he says that this ministry of reconciliation has been given to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Paul longs, we long to see all people brought into the loving embrace of God. When we look with the eyes of faith, we realize that we are people of value. And so is every other individual on this planet. The psalm goes on, and another thing that we see in this that reflects what the eyes of faith see, that not only has God crowned us as human beings with glory and honor, but you have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet. This is an amazing thing. God's made us kings and queens in this world that he's created. He's given us authority, and it's a glorious, honored thing to be a king. But also with it comes this amazing responsibility. In the scriptures, when people are given dominion, it means that they're given the responsibility of caring for that, caring for those over whom they have dominion in such a way that those they have dominion over are better for it. Their lives are better. The world is better because you are the king. Listen to Psalm 72 and what it says about how a king shall rule. He delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. You see, this king that Psalm 72 speaks of is worthy of amazing glory and honor, but also has this responsibility to care, especially as we've been talking about this past month, for those who are most vulnerable and most in need. And when we think about what it means for us to have dominion, to have this responsibility, this is what we talk about when we say we are called to be stewards of God's creation, stewards of God's resources, stewards of this life and this ministry we've been given. We're to live our lives and live out our dominion, our responsibility, in such a way that the world around us and the people around us are better for it because we are here. Of course, that can seem a bit overwhelming in a world in which there are so many problems. Maybe in your personal life it's cancer or the physical ailments of a friend. Maybe it's a relationship that is strained and stretched and you're not sure that you can make a difference in that. The relationships seem too out of whack. Maybe you look at our nation and see the gun violence that's taking place out in Oregon this past week, or the floods down in the Carolinas, and you wonder, what difference can we make? How can we serve God's creation, God's people, in a way that will ever make a difference? Maybe you wrestle as you look at our world and you see the divisions between races and ethnic groups and religions and nations. And you wonder, how can we make a difference? How can we live out God's purposes in our lives, in our world? The giants in front of us seem overwhelming. But like David, we can say, "Oh Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth." And we can look at these challenges in our life and in our world and understand that we see them not from a human point of view, but with the eyes of faith. And as we look, we know that God has given us what we need to face the giants before us, the challenges in front of us. It may be only five little smooth stones, but the resources God gives us are not scarce, but abounding. He has given us everything we can need to accomplish his purpose in our lives and in our world. We step forward with faith. That's what this table before us is all about. Think about those disciples gathered around the cross and looking up there and seeing, imagining from a human point of view that death has won. This great giant of death has scored the victory. But Jesus, because of the joy set before him, because the eyes of faith was able to see beyond the cross, beyond death itself, to know that God is still sovereign, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither death nor life, nor anything else in all creation. And we too, as we come to the table, we remember that Jesus has died for us and risen for us. That even death itself, that greatest of all the enemies we face, is not to be feared. Because we do not look at this table or out from this table with eyes of fear, but with eyes of faith. So as we bow in prayer now and preparing our hearts for the sacrament, I'd invite you to think of what those giants might be in your life, in your world, that if you weren't such a person of faith, might strike fear in your heart. But today, strengthened by this grace, as a person of faith, you will look at those challenges so differently. And you will leave from this table as a different person, stepping forward with eyes of faith, as a person of faith, confident in the God whom we worship. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let us pray together. Lord, as we come to the table of your grace, strengthen us, that we might walk, that we, like David, might even run into battle, confident that you are sovereign. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite us to go straight into the service of communion this morning. Today is World Communion Sunday. And it's one of my favorite Sundays of the year because I love to remember that we don't worship God just here in our little group, but that we are brothers and sisters to people around the world, and actually people that stretch beyond those who are alive in our human point of view today, but with God's saints through the ages. All of God's people gather around his table to sing of God's victory over even death itself. So let us stand and affirm our faith in our sovereign God in the words of the Apostles' Creed. With our brothers and sisters around the world, let us affirm our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ as they're delivered by the Apostle Paul, who says, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you remember and declare the Lord's death until he comes." Will you please pray with me? Lord of all, we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this juice. God, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit on these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and the blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his death and resurrection, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly feast, where with all your saints we will be gathered in glory everlasting, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear us now, Lord, as we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us receive them and feed on these gifts in faith, that we may be strengthened, that we may walk forward as people forgiven and as people of faith. We invite everyone to receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you confess Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, you are welcome to celebrate the sacrament. We will, in this service, offer first the bread, and we'll serve one another, handing the plate. We'll invite you to hold on to the bread until all have been served so that we can share in it together. The same with the cup. We will pass the plates with the cups down each pew. We invite you to take the cup and hold on to it until all have been served so that we can share in it together. Let us keep the feast.
The body of Christ broken for you. Take.
The blood of Christ shed for you. Would you join me in the words of Psalm 103 found in your bulletin? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. Please stand as we pray in thanksgiving. Gracious God, we do praise you on this beautiful day. The glory of your creation reflects your majesty. But grant us eyes that see even beyond this physical world. Beyond, Lord, those things that might seem so big and overwhelming. Whether our own sin and shame, or whether the forces of evil in the world around us. In all things, O God, may we stand firmly rooted in our faith in you, our sovereign God. As you have strengthened us this morning, so grant us the grace to go forward with eyes of faith. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to sing the first and last verse of the closing hymn. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, now and forever. Amen.
sit on it. He's probably like,
can I sit on the bench?
Like the piano.
That's where she sits.
He wants to, he doesn't want to sit.
Okay. Yeah, well, she's probably
just down. There's a little
snuff
there.
Yeah. Do you have both of them looking at it? You can even touch the bench if you want.
Let's go back here. Do you want to go and get a...